Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
They do it secretly now. Doctors do it secretly now. Also, you have spouses where one shoots, one kills the other, and then has to commit suicide because they're afraid of prosecution. These are unnecessary deaths, unnecessary suffering, misery. You don't need a law for this. All you have to say is it's legitimate medical practice. Now you can't pass a law against it.
Well, that's Dr. Jack Kevorkian in a recent interview on Larry King Live talking about assisted suicide. He has a whole plan. Did you know this? He has an entire plan that he tried to implement in his home state of Michigan on how to get doctors involved in assisted suicide. He simply wants it to be legitimate medical practice, and he wants government to be unable to regulate it or to pass a law against it. You heard him yourself. It's Monday afternoon, June the 21st. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're going to be talking about Jack Kevorkian's recent interview on Larry King Live for the first few minutes of this hour. Rita Marker will be our guest a little bit later. Gene Monahan will join us. We'll talk about the approval of a five-day morning after pill. It used to just be morning after, and now it can be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 days or mornings after. The FDA advisory panel has approved this. Janine Monahan will join us. We'll be talking with her from the Family Research Council, getting her reaction to this. I mean, when does it become where we have to admit that this is an abortifacient and not simply what they're saying, emergency birth control? Deaconess Pam Nielsen will join us in the last part of this first hour. As she usually does, we'll talk about God answering Gideon's prayer with signs and simple things like the morning dew. Wade Horn will be our guest in the second hour of the program. We'll talk about the importance of fathers. And then I want you to stay tuned because we have a very interesting conversation with Brian McLaren, one of the leading lights in the emergent church movement. And we're going to bring you part of that. We've got to do this in a couple steps, a couple days. Bring you part of that interview where we talk about the emergent church movement. He's authored a new book called A New Kind of Christianity, 10 Questions That Are Transforming the Faith. And our conversation with him, for your benefit, I want you to listen, and then I want your reaction after we play a portion of that conversation with Brian McLaren. You can also, by the way, leave your comments at our Facebook fan page, where you can also hear the audio, facebook.com/issuesetc. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can Twitter us at issuesetc. Rita Marker is a regular guest and director of the International Task Force on Euthanasia and Assisted Suicide based in Steubenville, Ohio. Rita, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
Dr. Jack Kevorkian, you would think at some point he would go away, but he seems to be a real champion for this cause. What is his cause?
Well, Jack's cause is Jack. That's, I guess, the best way to put it. It was interesting. I read the transcript of the his being on Larry King. And he said, oh, it isn't about him, and it's always about somebody else. Jack Kevorkian has one main interest, and that's Jack Kevorkian. And his next interest is death. Somebody else's, not his.
What is he proposing, or what does he want to see legalized in the United States?
Well, on Larry King, he brought up this whole plan that he had. It was really a bizarre situation. He wanted to divide Michigan into 11 zones, and then he wanted doctors to make all these decisions, and he'd be the doctor czar, to use the type of terminology that's now being used. And at one point, though, he had written that he'd really like to be able to have doctors make determinations, and then it could be carried out by a lay executioner. So he's all over the map. Depending on what somebody asks him and what pops into his mind, that's what he's going to do. Then when he writes an article, he gets into these very, very bizarre and intricate things. But his main thing is that he just has always had a fixation with death. in the Larry King interview, he mentioned that he was studying the eyes of patients because that would give him some insights regarding organ transplant. In fact, that really wasn't quite the way. It was just his fixation. And apparently he would go into the rooms of dying patients and in some cases reportedly had taped their eyes open so that he could see what happened when they died because, quite frankly, it just interested him. So he has always been incredibly bizarre. But that said, he has done something for the assisted suicide movement that did them a real favor, because before Jack Kevorkian gained his notoriety above the fold on the front page of newspapers across the country, those who were proposing assisted suicide and euthanasia, the Hemlock Society at that time, now called Compassion and Choices, that group had seemed really far out and really, really out of the mainstream, totally and completely and bizarre. But then when Jack came on the scene, no longer were the Hemlock types considered outrageous, but instead, Kevorkian was considered outrageous, at least for a time, and that shoved the Hemlock Compassion and Choices people into what was viewed by many as the moderate middle. So as much as Jack is a caricature of himself, he has moved the ball forward for assisted suicide activists because they can say, well, look, we're the reasonable ones.
Here's something he had to say apropos of something you said earlier about a plan that he has for carrying out assisted suicides.
So what do you want done? How would you do
it? Okay, then we have a consultation with the patient first, especially, and with a spouse if possible, and with the family members. Then the way I laid it out, you can't do it without psychiatric consultation. First of all, they pick two groups of doctors. I said three. That's two groups of three. The first group of three is the one who debate and discuss and decide on the eligibility for the service.
Then
it goes to the second group of three, one of whom will be selected to perform it. That way you don't get mixed motives.
How long does this process take while the president, while the patient may be in pain?
It depends on the disease suffering at the time, the patient suffering.
Can you hasten it?
You don't hasten it, but you do what the patient wants.
Supposing he wants to die tomorrow.
We do it quickly.
All right, Rita. They talked there at the end about pain and suffering. That certainly is part of death, of course, but he claims that he is and has been killing terminal patients. Is that true?
Well, he claims a lot of things, but in fact, of the 130 known deaths, fewer than half of them had diagnosed terminal conditions. Some of them had no diagnosed physical problems whatsoever as far as a serious medical condition. And even if they did, Jack wouldn't know how to diagnose it because when he did work as a physician, he was a pathologist. He hadn't treated live patients since the Korean War. So it really is another one of his little flights of fantasy to be making all these claims about the need to do all of this diagnosis and all of this. In other interviews, he has said that there should not be psychiatrists don't need to be involved. And even in this one, he contradicted himself by saying it's the patient who decides when he's saying, well, we're going to get this big panel of doctors and all of this. But I'd like to draw attention to something else that he said in this interview, and recognizing that probably what Jack says about what he has done is about as reliable as what Jeroen van der Sloot is saying about what he has done. You never know what's true and what isn't. But in this interview, for the first time publicly, he did, of course, before acknowledge that he had been the one that administered the lethal dose to Thomas Yauch, and that's why he ended up in prison, because that wasn't assisted suicide, it was euthanasia, which is covered under the murder and manslaughter statutes. But he also said in this interview, when Larry King said, well, that was the only one that you did that, he said, no, the first one, and that was Janet Atkins. He said that after that, the patient could push the button themselves. But he said in this interview that he had done it all with Janet Atkins. If that's true, Jack Kevorkian could be charged with the murder of Janet Atkins because that was not an assisted suicide, and he never was on trial for that. Also related to Janet Atkins, that first victim, he mentioned that, you know, he would talk with the patient and the patient's family and all of this. He had never talked with Janet Atkins until she arrived in Michigan for her death. All the arrangements were made by her husband. in the interview, there is some statement there that she couldn't do the things she liked to do and so forth, when in fact she was playing tennis up until the days that she went to Kevorkian for her death. She had early Alzheimer's, which was causing memory problems, but not physical problems. So here you have a woman with early Alzheimer's who Kevorkian is now saying that he administered the lethal dose to her, that it wasn't assisted suicide. It's a really interesting revelation.
Finally, then, with only about a minute here, Rita, it's easy to laugh off a man like Jack Kevorkian. It's easy not to take him seriously, and perhaps we shouldn't. But you mentioned before that there are societies that have moved the ball forward, largely playing against Jack Kevorkian. What is their agenda? And with only about a minute, how can we stop it?
Their agenda is death on demand for any person for any reason. And we can stop this by recognizing that exactly what is being proposed and knowing that this is very, very, very serious. Right now, three states, Oregon, Washington, and Montana, have transformed the crime of assisted suicide into a medical treatment. If other states think that they're safe, I would hope that people in those states would rethink that, because this push is really going on. And Kevorkian, as much of an outrageous personality as he is, you have other people who share the same views, but they're dressed up as respectability and law-abiding and change the law, but they want the same end, death on demand.
Rita Marker is director of the International Task Force on Euthanasia and Assisted Suicide, based in Steubenville, Ohio. You'll find a link at our website, issuesetc.org. Rita, thank you.
You're very welcome.
When we come back, Jean Monahan's going to join us. We're going to talk to her about the approval of the five-day morning after pill by an FDA advisory panel. 5 days isn't the morning after. I mean, just so we can be clear on our calendars here, 5 days later isn't the morning after. Is this emergency contraception? Is it contraception? Or is it just abortion by another name? We'll be right back.
Seasons don't feel the reaper, nor do the wind, the sun, or the rain. We can be like they are. Come on, baby, don't feel the reaper. Baby, take my hand. Don't feel the reaper. We'll be able to fly. Don't feel the reaper. Baby, I'm your man.
Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.